Margaret Leng Tan measures her life in two epochs, B.C. and A.C. She was a classical pianist with a Juilliard doctorate, B.C., before she met composer John Cage. After that defining moment, after Cage, she became an avant-garde artist, and now she's a virtuoso of the toy piano. This is from Margaret Leng Tan's CD, The Art of the Toy Piano, a collection of 12 songs in which she plays toy pianos, a plastic toy accordion, a toy boombox, and empty tuna cans, among other instruments, often more than one at a time. On this track, Sati Blues, arranged specially for her by the composer, she plays both toy piano and, as she says, adult piano.
That's my favorite piece on the album. This piece by Toby Twining, Sati Blues, it's a masterpiece. I think it'll endure. It's so hypnotic and beautiful and has an aspect of carnival, nostalgia, happy, sad, wistful. It's got everything in it. I really think it plumbs the emotional depths, this piece. First of all, from a technical standpoint, it's extremely difficult to play both the toy piano and the regular piano together. It's not something that I was trained to do, and it was a skill I had to acquire because you have to sit at an angle between the two instruments.
I'm astonished. I listened to this piece of music on compact disc. I've never seen you perform it. I just assumed it was overdubbed and that you'd done two different recordings and then they'd mixed them together.
Everyone thinks it's overdubbed. In fact, the entire recording is done as it would be in performance. And you have to have the eyes of an iguana that can dart very quickly back and forth. And I would say 60% of it is visual eye coordination, especially when the left hand is jumping all over the bass and the right hand is doing these really pretty difficult figurations and in coordination, in tandem with the left hand.
Tell me about toy pianos. On the one hand, this is a naive instrument.
But it's a toy.
It's a toy. How many toy pianos do you own?
Oh, I keep collecting them more and more and more. I now have 12. And the latest one was found in the garbage. Without legs, but it was a Schoenhut. And the Schoenhut is the Steinway of toy pianos. It's really more like a gamelan sound than a piano sound. It's not a piano sound. In fact, it's a percussion instrument.
Yes, there's no string at all inside the toy piano.
No, it's a metal rod. And in fact, I'd just like very quickly to explain how the action works. It's a very, very primitive instrument. It's really a metallophone disguised as a piano, a sort of repackaged glockenspiel, I suppose you could say, because all it is a plastic hammer attached to a piano key, striking a metal rod. And that's all there is to the mechanism. And I realize how simple it is. One day I took apart my Steinway because I had broken a jack and I thought I could glue it back myself. And in taking the action apart, I realized how immensely complicated the piano is. And then, of course, I couldn't put the piano back together and had to call the tuner. But it wasn't a total waste of time because it made me realize that, gosh, the toy piano is as prehistoric in its relationship to the piano as maybe, oh, I don't know, what's the earliest man there is? What kind of man that is to the modern man? Or maybe even the great apes. That's how you know, distant it goes back in terms of being primitive. And then I felt very, very proud of myself that I could control all these subtleties of nuance and articulation and tonal shading on an instrument that was so primitive, and that showed how hard I had worked to make it possible. And I felt really a sense of accomplishment at that point in time.
There's one piece on this recording, which is called Modern Love Waltz, which was composed by one of the executive producers of the recording, and that's Philip Glass.
Yes, it's for piano. And I decided that it would sound very attractive on the toy piano. So I arranged it for the toy, or rather I transcribed it for the toy piano. You know, it's a funny thing. It's almost to the point where, this sounds so outrageous, I'm almost embarrassed to say it. A lot of pieces that sound good on the piano sound even better on the toy piano. And by that I mean Philip Glass, even Eric Satie, and I must say Nan Caro sounds fantastic on the toy piano because of that very, you know, brilliant percussive attack that the toy piano has. Here's another paradox for you. Having indulged myself in the toy piano for the last 4 years, it's done really quite marvelous things for my adult piano playing. You see, to play the toy piano, it takes a great deal of control. And this kind of control, what I would say is comparable to doing fine point embroidery, because it's such a primitive action that the control I have acquired over the toy piano has translated into my adult piano playing and brought my level of refinement of fingertip control to the highest degree imaginable, beyond anything I ever dreamed was possible. So that was an unexpected bonus, you see.
Tell me about some other pieces. I think it's in East Broadway. In East Broadway, where you actually, one of the instruments you use is the toy boombox.
Yes. It's just a little $4 boombox from Chinatown that's made in China. Well, most of my toy instruments, apart from the Schoenhoods, are all made in China. You would get a headache if you did nothing but listen to the toy piano, wouldn't you? Because it's so strident and penetrating and really a percussive instrument, really. So I thought that one had the luxury of integrating other toy instruments with it, you could really create such a range of sonorities and timbres, not to mention the visual, you know, joyful aspect of seeing all these little toy instruments being played, and it would be like a one-woman band. It's this whole thing of junk, you know, turned into a found sound. Really, this is not something new because it goes back to John Cage or the found objects of Picasso's art.
And I guess it would be fair to observe that the notion of found sound with, say, the
tuna fish cans.
Tuna fish cans.
or the soy sauce dishes or the glasses that are used in the recording for Guy Clasivic's Suite Chinoiserie. I can tell you a funny story with that, because Guy Clasivic, he wanted me to have three pitches, high, medium, and low, for the cat food cans. And so I had to hunt in all the recycling bins for cat food cans that would produce that result. But I didn't find satisfactory ones, so I finally ate myself through 9 cans of tuna fish. And then I got my 3 cans.
Now, your whole approach to this, to playing a toy piano.
It's fun.
It's fun. I mean, you are engaged in avant-garde art here, and it's sometimes absolutely beautiful and striking, but you're very much into the humor and the fun of this as well, yes?
Yes. Well, it has to be. It's funny. I mean, people think it's extremely funny when I come out carrying my own piano on stage. I had this beautiful Schoenhut 3-octave grand that I tour with along with another 3-octave upright. So the audience thinks it's extremely funny when I walk on stage carrying my grand. And then I prop up the lid with a flourish and I put on my little music stand. And then I put on my music scores, which are reduced to 60%. And then I sit on a little stool 8 inches high. And they think it's hysterically funny. So I see myself now, you know, really in the role of a sit-down comic.
Do you do Victor Borge shtick in between the pieces?
My own version. As I say, you know, being a sit-down comic, I never realized I had quite this inclination until the toy piano came along and presented itself with all my other toy instruments. And the audience thinks it's really very, very charming and amusing, as well as fascinating that these instruments can produce such wonderful sounds. But it takes a great deal of practice, and believe me, I get as nervous to play a toy concert as I do to play a regular adult concert. And as a friend once said to me, oh, don't worry, it's only toy nerves. But it isn't, it's real nerves.
Margaret Leng Tan, toy pianist, adult pianist, self-styled sit-down comedian, and featured artist on the CD, The Art of the Toy Piano.